good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, they are, Dega. You are right. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, it's Thursday, and we have our friend Robert Lilligren on in just a minute here. Hey, Robert, we're going to, you know, the governor of Wisconsin always seems to want to send us something on your day, so we're going to have to listen to him. just kidding. All right. Hey, before we get any further here, I want to introduce, we're going to have a snowzilla here coming up here. So we're going to have 2 to 3 inches, and nobody's used to the snow. So everyone's buying toilet paper and everything and hunkering down. And we're going to have Robert Lilligren on here. And then, Haley and I are going to chat and maybe reach out to people later on the show if they want to call in and, tell how great a job Haley does. So we're going to do that. But first, what we want to do is, get a report from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers. Let's take a look.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers here with some very exciting news. The first daily oral contraceptive pill for use without a prescription is hitting the store shelves and online retailers across Wisconsin. That contraception, known as Opill, was approved by the FDA for use last summer. Today, folks across our state are going to be able to access the birth control they need without having to get a doctor's prescription to get it. That's great news, but that's not all. As I announced in my State of the State address earlier this year, I've directed the Department of Health Services to issue a standing order to allow Badger Care Plus members to pick up Opill from any Wisconsin Medicaid-enrolled pharmacy without a prescription and at no out-of-pocket cost to them. This builds upon our standing order from earlier this year that did the same thing for over-the-counter emergency contraception. Starting Monday, March 18th, Badger Care Plus members can walk into any Wisconsin Medicaid-enrolled pharmacy without a prescription, pick up daily contraception or emergency contraception, and they'll be able to leave the pharmacy with the medication they need at no out-of-pocket cost, and that's a big deal, folks. This is an exciting milestone in our work to protect and expand reproductive freedom in Wisconsin. I believe every Wisconsinite should be able to access the health care they need when they need it. And yes, that includes access to a broad range of contraception options. So we're going to keep working to make sure folks can access the reproductive health care they need wherever and whenever it's convenient for them. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Governor Evers, for that great report. And, you know, he just totally makes sense, and we really appreciate our neighbor, Governor Tony Evers. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in a White Earth Ojibwe, and we don't hold that against him. Ho! Welcome, Robert.
Yep, there's a lot of us around, Robert.
Yeah, I better be careful.
Right.
Exactly. So it seems like I talk to you all the time, but not really. It's great to see you. And we love
that. Saw you in the office this week. That was nice.
Yeah. You guys have it going on. I'm really always impressed with how open your doors are, but also how hard your people work. And we talked about this a long time ago on the show, but just the change that that you implemented with Help with Outside about how people take care of themselves and how much more they are productive by doing that. Talk about that just a little bit.
Well, first off, thanks for your, you know, bonjour, Haley, bonjour, Robert. Great to see you. Always great to be with you. Thanks for the kind words about the organization and the caliber of people that work there. You know, when I first started, we were a staff of three. Mm. That was almost 7 years ago. Now we're a staff of 12. And we took several years to plan for growth and then growth. But I'll tell you, when COVID hit, everything kind of changed. And so suddenly when we were working remotely and trying to figure out all that out and kind of work dynamics. And thanks to the resources of a local nonprofit, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, they deployed one of their artists in residence to meet with Native organizational leadership early in the pandemic just to kind of cope. And it was Linda Eagle speaker. I'm guessing you know her, local elder cultural carrier, brilliant. And she had this curriculum that worked around this image of her tradition, Plains tradition, of a tribe or a camp moving from a summer camp to a, from a winter camp to a summer camp. And as Native organizational leads, we were the chiefs of our camps or of our tribes. And so she just, it was very indigenous framing, indigenous examples, and it was really kind of harsh. She pushed us to make life and death decisions. Mm-hmm. And it was so enlightening to me, and it profoundly changed the way I approach my work. And one of the big takeaways, if not the biggest one, was that she said the indigenous way is to take care of yourself first, your family second, and your community, your organization third. And I really pushed against her. And I'm like, Linda, we're indigenous. We care for the whole. And she was very patient, and she just kept repeating that, you know, the indigenous way is take care of yourself first, your family second, your community third. And so I finally just decided to believe her, right, and try to put it into practice. And it was hard, I'll tell you, because it's not how we're conditioned in 21st century America, for sure. But as I did it, I could see how I was becoming more productive and more energetic about my work. And so then taught that to our staff at NACDI, and they resisted it. It's not how any of them were conditioned. But as we indigenized our approach, and people started to care for themselves, then their families, then the organization, I'll tell you, Haley and Robert, it had a transformational impact on our work. So I have all of these super talented Native young professionals in the office that come in knowing, you know, having taken care of themselves, knowing their families are taken care of, and the level of productivity in our office is off the charts.
Wow.
And we're not riding people and saying, get this done. People, staff at NACDI just goes. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised that more orgs, not just Native orgs, but companies and things don't work from this perspective. Management often seems punitive, right?
Right.
You're being tracked and watched every second. And man, at NACDI, as you witnessed firsthand, these young Native professionals just deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we've talked about that. And you just gave us a little more in depth, too, about the process. And I didn't remember that the staff resisted too, but that's an amazing story. And, you know, I keep this story in my hat because who knows where I land in my next job or whatever, but I really appreciate what the process that you guys have taken and you can tell.
Thanks, Robert. That's really kind. And, you know, we had for years, ever since I've been at NACDI, our approach has been to indigenize the way we operate, you know, and we're kind of defining ourselves in a 21st century urban environment and what does this mean? And so we tried to be deliberate about it. And then even when Linda Eagle speaker was teaching me, you know, take care of yourself, then your family, then your community. And I was resisting it. I thought, well, here's a respected and knowledgeable elder telling me this. And if I really believe and embrace the idea of indigenizing our work at NACDI, then I have to try it. I have to at least try it. And yeah, it's kind of a little secret, right? I think most of my staff thinks I'm the easiest boss in the world because I'm always encouraging them to take care of themselves and their families. But the little secret is I get so much more work out of them because of the kind of whole selves that they bring to their work.
Wow, really cool. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Minnesota Twin Cities. We'll be right back after this short break. Oh,
we are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bedlock of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio. Right here.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we just love having a conversation. You know, one of the things that that made me think of how you run your office and how Linda, Eagle Speaker, brought this in, reminds me of kind of the thought of you have to give it away to keep it, too. You know, the altruistic kind of thing, you know, and it's such a great conversation.
Agree. And it is kind of similar to that concept. And, you know, you hear these ideas, give it away to keep it, or self-care and the importance of caring for yourself. And formally, I was like, yeah, good idea. You know, we'll see where that would go or something like that. But from my experience anyway, when you really center that in a organizational operation, it has impact. So I can give it a full-throated testimonial here.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I sent you a message, Robert. Are you good for another segment, or do you have to bolt up this one?
You know, I thought I had to go, but I'll stay for another segment. I can stay.
Okay, cool. Because I always feel like we're just getting the meat and potatoes of it, and then you have to go. So I appreciate you being able to hold on again.
My pleasure.
So we'll talk a little bit then in the next segment about what's happening here politically, but what's happening for you and your organization, and what, you know, what's happening in Minnesota that you see in a good way, or what we need to work on. I just had a nice conversation with one of your guests when you had at my show, the Minneapolis Park Board, and they are really being proactive in a lot of ways, and hopefully that'll help the community.
Agree, and I'm thrilled that you brought that up, and we hadn't prearranged this, but I actually was going to talk about the Minneapolis Park Board.
Oh, come
and, on. And so, no, I was. I have their Indigenous Reconciliation Action Plan up right in front of me right now. So wow. That was going to kind of be my remarks. And so folks who aren't from here know we have an individual unit of government, our elected Minneapolis Parks and Recs Board, that's responsible for our world-class park system here in the Twin Cities. And over the last few years, I guess, they've been working on and since passed what they call their Indigenous Reconciliation Action Plan. And it's just been kind of in my work this week and in my thinking. One of our good friends and colleagues and a former guest here, Carrie Day Aspinwall, my Ojibwe sister, is the park's first Native community liaison. And so she's helping navigate some conversations. NACDI, our organization, is about to go under contract with the parks to help them with some of this Native community engagement. That's a lot of what we do. But I do have to give them some credit. I mean, of course, the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll see what this yields. But they have focus areas of acknowledgement, training, mapping, agreements, workforce development, which I'm really glad is included, design, access, interpretation, action and financial resources, and land stewardship. So you know, they're putting a real framework together to do some work.
And talking to Carrie today, too, things are moving really fast, and that's good to hear from a Native person, because she's boots on the ground with this organization and just came aboard, it sounds like. And I was really excited to hear what they were doing. And also, we were talking about having them on the show. And, you know, I'm pretty softballish when it comes to questions. I don't try to rattle people or to but they welcomed it, which was really interesting. They said, you know, there's controversial stuff going on, and we welcome controversial questions. We can't avoid them.
Nope, and I like that, right? Truth telling. It's time for some truth telling. And, you know, so that's going on here locally in Minneapolis in our regional government. And, you know, some folks know I'm a representative, the first Native rep, on our Metropolitan Council, which is a 7-county metropolitan governmental unit, and we're a planning agency, so we're starting to prepare for our year 2050 comprehensive plans for all of the communities in the region, setting design guidelines. And while that's going on, we're really integrating a lot of Indigenous perspectives, seeing land and water as relatives. We're convening such a high caliber advisory group, our best and brightest cultural carriers and historians across generations, with an emphasis on the Dakota people, but representation from Ho-Chunk, from Ojibwe mm-hmm. as well. And that will inform these plans for our entire region and center Indigenous voices. And so it parallels what the parks are doing in Minneapolis, our regional government's doing it. And efforts like this, these kind of truth-telling, yeah. reconciliation, and then reparation kinds of efforts are happening a lot more than they used to.
Right. You know, and one of the things, too, that you mentioned with Met Council, and also what I found out about the Minneapolis Parks and Recs, is that they do a lot of their own their own entity, I should say. They can make decisions and don't have to. They're not down up or they're. If you're talking to them, you're definitely talking to who's making the decision, like the Met Council too, and I imagine other entities in the Minneapolis government specifically, is that they are their own entity. So their parks. They take care of their parks and have their own parks people. And I was really curious about that. And it sounds like, you know, the other organizations, the other 17 organizations that you work with, Robert, are pretty their own people, their own entity.
Yeah, thanks. And I appreciate that. I agree with your observation. And I have to apologize, folks. All of a sudden, my computer fan kicked in. And so it's kind of loud. I'm not sure why. But yeah, to what you're saying, and you know, to me, in a lot of ways, it's the importance of access, right? When we get more Native voices into these conversations, into these spaces that were not meant to serve us, and in fact, in many cases, were meant to destroy us. Yeah. So once we actually get in there and can start to steer, and you know, another role I play in the community here is as the chair of our convention and visitors association. Mm. And just really, I mean, we've been in conversations almost every day this week, how to use that position of influence to lift up urban Indian tourism here in Minneapolis and in the metropolitan area. And most Native tourism is very government to government, often state government to tribal government. Mm-hmm. So how in a place like Minneapolis that is so rich with history, American Indian movement was founded here, the pre-European history with the river, the Bedote, where the two rivers come together, Minnesota and Mississippi. And, you know, and how do we lift up this tourism? And it's just really what? I feel very fortunate, humbled, and privileged to be in a position where I can help advance that.
Yeah, and I think just putting a teepee outside there would help welcoming natives. That would be, I don't know if we were joking about that when I was down there, or a chapoteque, have some recognition. And man, I'll tell you, from my other job, Robert, we're traveling all over the country for these things. Why not come here to Minneapolis and the great convention center that we have, where we can really do a lot of intertribal work?
I agree. And, through my work with Meet Minneapolis and then the sports teams here, Vikings, Twins, Lynx, Timberwolves, are very big parts of how we manage or we market our destination. We market the city of Minneapolis. And so, for the work that I do there, I've been connected through Meet Minneapolis to the Vikes team, and I'm going to address a group of visiting, media people in April that are all here as part of the Tottenham, and I'm trying to remember their soccer, Hotspurs, the Tottenham Hotspurs. So there's social media people that are going to be here. So I'm going to talk to them about the local community and things, again, raise the profile of what we've got going on here from a community perspective. But again, it's just those one-off kind of odd opportunities. But then, you know, we'll have these social media people from England that'll go home with a better understanding of what's going on in Indian country, especially urban Indian country. And little things like that can help make changes within the system.
Well, and it's big things because, you know, people vaguely know us for a lot of things in the Native community. Well, like you said, the American Indian movement and all the things that American Indian movement has opened the doors for, and it's great to have a spokesperson like yourself to be able to guide them through that. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, and our friend here on Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl. Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out.
Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land-back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilio. Overnight, heavy snow expected with a low of 26. Then Friday, cloudy with a high of 34. Stephanie Miller and all her friends are coming back to the Pantages Theater in Minneapolis for the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on Saturday night, April 13th. Join Stephanie with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Frangela. Ticket information at am950radio.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, I love that tagline. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Robert Lilligren from the Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, I got to tell you a quick story. So every once in a while, yeah, I mess that up, and then I switch it with Native American Community Clinic. And just so you don't feel bad, I do the opposite to him, to Dr. Staley.
No, yeah, so I know, I'm very aware. A lot of folks. We'll get their mail, they get our mail, and we're just sort of kitty corner from each other on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on East Franklin, Minneapolis. So not surprising. But yeah, you're not the only one.
Oh, now I feel better because I am a radio professional.
Yes, you are.
Or I play one on TV. That's more like it. But hey, really great conversations today as always. And I always used to enjoy when we did a pre-record two-hour show back in the day. Our conversation before the show that we record was always a lot of fun. And I feel a kinship to you because we're similar to age and gone through a lot of the same things. Oh, yeah. And again, I grew up with your father on the radio, so it's always great talking to you and hearing what's happening. And you're so plugged in and do so much for the community, and it's awesome. It really is. Yeah. I feel like
Put all of that back at you for sure. And I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the platform. I never feel like I do enough. So, yeah, so it's a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk a little national things. I just don't know. Have you been paying attention to the impeachment at all?
I've been paying attention a little. Okay. And it doesn't seem like that's really going to go anywhere. It doesn't even – people who supported the impeachment in Congress in the past are kind of backing away. And so at some point, it's just going to kind of wind down. And I did see that the executive office, the president's office, said, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done with this process. You know, Congress, we've answered all of your questions. We've answered all – yeah, so – so I feel if the president says he's done, I feel like it's fair for us to say we're done.
It's funny because someone yesterday during the session was saying that this sounds like more of an impeachment of Trump than it does Biden. So it's just like, or these, you know, just to trying to have it out in front and, you know, get all this misinformation out there. And it's just like, what a waste of money. And I feel like a lot of that happens, and we are so grateful to have our trifecta here in Minnesota, because we've run into Republicans that are not for things. That's what they run on, not for things, instead of maybe enlightening and fixing things. They're not for things.
Right. And how productive is that in governance? Yeah. You know, and as someone who was in government for a long time, it's most effective when people can sit, negotiate. Really, I felt almost all part of governance, certainly legislation, was negotiations, find common ground, create a piece of legislation or an end product that represents most people's best interest. I mean, just talking about that, I would think that's how government's supposed to work. And
right.
It kind of feels like halcyon days talking about that now.
Well, and it's interesting, too. You mentioned last week, I think, or I had a dream. You know how it is when you're my age, Robert, but that you were kind of surprised when you became a city council person that not everyone was on the same page of, like, let's help people. Instead, there was a lot of haggling, a lot of political stuff and backstabbing in the background, and that wasn't always the focus.
Right. Well, what really surprised me is I kind of started to learn about government. I was a resident activist, you know, a community activist, and I just found my way to some policy tables and stuff where different units of government would be represented and elected officials might be there. And it just floored me to learn that they didn't all get along. They didn't agree. I mean, I was a fairly mature person at that time. And so it was really shocking to learn that government wasn't this unified thing working for my best interest. But there were units of government trying to undermine each other. They were acting not in the best interests of the community. And yeah, so it was a little bit of an eye opener. And then getting into government, back during my time of being at the city council, it was a fairly cordial, collegial group. We focused on database decision making rather than transactional or horse trade or relationship based, and I really liked that. And it feels a little different in our city hall now. It feels like it's more about relationships or brinksmanship than it is about database, you know, governing.
Mm-hmm. I had a former student call me or message me on Facebook. She's coming back from Brooklyn, and I think she was a class of 2010 or 12, and she's coming back doing work, and she wanted to know my opinion. But all the way out there, people have heard about St. Paul's City Council, which is everyone's under 40, and they're all women, and all of them are BIPOC except one. And so we're really happy as heck to have that here in the Twin City over here, St. Mm-hmm. Paul.
No, hats off to St. Paul. It's a good, progressive, you know, common sense kind of council. It's very young. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's all women, which I think is thrilling, and super majority BIPOC. And so, and it seems like they're doing a pretty good job. You know, it's a very new council, and so They're yet to be tested too much, but it seems like they get it.
Right. I was going to ask you, and you kind of touched on that just a few minutes ago about being on the city council. And prior to that, what made you run for city council? I've never asked you that.
Oh, okay. Way back when, I was very engaged in my community, primarily at a very grassroots level, organizing in the community and things. And I was serving on 8 different community-based kind of boards or councils or advisory groups at this point. So I was coming into contact with the system and could see the decisions that were being made. And I was a small business person. I was developing rehabbing houses right on my block in Phillips, in the Phillips area. And so I was in the city a lot. And I started to learn a little about the city. And I thought, well, it can't be this hard. Why is it so hard to do business with the city? And then seeing these decisions, and in the Phillips area, which was a blighted and rapidly redeveloping part of the city, there were just all these big decisions being made that benefited the corporate presence and the developer, and was really just scraping a lot of my neighbors in the residential communities away. Well, that's not right. And so I kind of saw 3 big decisions that were coming down the pike. I was not at all satisfied with the quality of the decisions that would come from the elected people. So I really ran to have a platform, right, to lift these community perspectives up. And I think a lot of people thought I was the last person that would ever win an elected office, And, in 2001 I won and was elected to 3 terms and really enjoyed my service on the Minneapolis City Council. Did my best and learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were the first Native American, were you the first openly gay male, too?
No, I wasn't. I was actually the second. I mean, this gets kind of technical, but Brian Coyle, legendary community-level representative and a good friend of the Native community, was the first openly gay elected to the city council back in, don't quote me on the year, 92?
Oh, okay.
Maybe 90, somewhere around that. And then the year I was elected, there were 2 other openly gay council members elected as well. So kind of made a little national splash in the LGBTQ world. But so suddenly we had 3. And I'll tell you, I was just talking to someone else about this because on a board I serve on, we just recruited another Native representative, Shelley Buck. Former Prairie Island elected who now runs an organization here right in downtown Minneapolis called Owomneo Neokadayapi around the falls here, and she's just doing brilliant work. So she's joined the board of Meet Minneapolis, where I chair, and so I was making this observation that when you're the one in the room or the one voice at the table, it's one thing. But suddenly when there's another one, it's something else, right? So in Minneapolis, it's having 2 Native voices suddenly speaking. But back when I was elected to the Minneapolis City Council in 2001, suddenly we had 3 openly gay men. And it changed things, It's different when you have allies.
Yeah, definitely. It was interesting, too. You had a lot to do with the Greenaway, didn't you? The bike path?
That was before I was elected. I served on the board of what's called the Midtown Greenway Coalition. And at the time, it was primarily an advocacy group to build a citywide bike freeway, essentially, along a rail corridor that goes from the Mississippi River to our chain of lakes. So literally across the entire segment of South Minneapolis. And so I was on the board there and an advocate for not just that investment, but more investment in biking and walking, active transportation options. And during my time on city council and since, actually, with the transportation policy planning funding became kind of an area of special work and knowledge. It's very convoluted and arcane but...
Well, I saw pictures of before and after a couple of weeks ago that went on Facebook, and it's amazing what happened down there for that bikeway. It's amazing.
Right. Well, and I lived just right there on 29th Avenue 29th Street and 3rd Avenue. So I remember when it was abandoned, there were a series of grisly murders of Native women where some of the bodies were left there. And I knew that that was going to be transformation. I was going to bring new people into our community where people can mix and learn about each other. And it's been wildly successful.
Definitely. Hey, Robert, this has been fun, and we even got a chance to hear some history, which I didn't know, and I'm sure our listening audience didn't. So we really appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming on.
It is always a pleasure. Yigawabam and Haley, Robert.
Right on. Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this short break. Haley,
stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
What do I have on? Oh, I have my wild shirt on. I thought, what shirt do I have on?
Oh.
So, awesome to hear from Robert. And he sent me a text apologizing that his fan was loud on his computer and it's about to blow up.
Yeah, maybe. I thought it. Yeah, sounded like a wind turbine.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe we can have a GoFundMe and get him another laptop. Oh,
yeah, there we go. Hey, speaking of funding, yeah? I want to shout out Christine McDonald and Bob Rice of, well, Bob is owns Powwow Grounds here in Minneapolis, and they're going to be doing a Indian Taco fundraiser next Monday, the 25th, at 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I have to go to that because, you know, it's Powwow Grounds Indian Tacos.
Right. And it's it's for the celebration of Thanksgiving Powwow that's coming up. I heard, and, it says Thanksgiving, but we like to say Thanksgiving here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. And it looks like they're changing that name too. Like, thankfully it'll be the Minneapolis Celebration Powwow.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, what else is going on? I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to be in New York working on, you know, our natives, hanging out with natives in New York. And it's funny, Wendy and I are going to go see a famous lady that has been doing her thing for 80 years. I can't think of her name, but she has she does all the animal stuff, and we're going to go see her speak, and so that's going to be exciting when we get into the city.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is going on? Well, that Indian Tacos fundraiser will be happening at the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Building, 1308 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And then also next Monday is NAC, Native American Community Clinic's Full Moon Ceremony, again happening at the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis. Monday the 25th, and then next Tuesday, March 26th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Minneapolis American Indian Center is hosting a hiring fair at their temporary office at Many Rivers East off of East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. You can bring your resume if you have one, and there will also be job applications on site, which, you know, sounds like a really great resource.
Yeah, it really does. I'm sorry I'm going to miss that, because there's always a lot of opportunity to amplify people's voice that are going to be there tabling. And we've partnered with a lot of the groups that will be there looking for people, the workers. And it's still at that point where we have a shortage of workers, and a lot of it has to do, and maybe you can help me with this, Haley, I believe a lot of it has to do with the low wages that people did not want to return to after the pandemic.
Yeah, or like Robert was talking about, bosses that just micromanage you.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it'll be, you know, I think too, just the benefits, the lack of benefits in healthcare is also a reason why people... I guess just are a little bit more picky when it comes to job placement. But another event coming up, this is a big one. So shout out to our Minnesota State MMIR office. They'll be holding a community search for Jeremy Jourdain in Red Lake, Minnesota, who was seen last in 2016. So they will be meeting at the Seven Clans Casino next Saturday, March 30th, beginning at 8:30 a.m. They'll be hosting two different search shifts, and they'll be held one in the morning, and then the second one will be held from 1:30 to 5. Red Lake Nation does require volunteers to sign up to do that. You can email anna.g.negrete, N-E-G-R-E-T-E, at stateminnesota.us. Weather looks like we'll have temps in the 30s next weekend in Red Lake with a chance of snow. So dress for the weather. You're going to be outside. And just thank you to everyone showing up and volunteering their time on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, and I like the fact that our relatives are not forgotten, you know, and so it's a heartfelt thank you, Big Peeny Geegee, to these organizations that still look for our relatives that have been gone. You know, it hasn't been a couple of weeks. It's been a year or so. And so we're excited about that.
Yes. Again, this community search for Jeremy with the MMIR office will be happening next Saturday in Red Lake. And you can contact the Bemidji Police Department or submit an anonymous tip to crimestoppersminnesota.org if you know anything about Jeremy or his whereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Really good thing to bring up. Really.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the topic of MMI, I just wanted to shout out our friend Ricky Medlock's new single, Never Run Out of Road, which every play donates to the National MMIR office, and MMI standing for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. So go stream that, and every stream will donate to that.
Well, that'll be good. When you have your music show here on the mighty AM 950, you'll be able to play him once a week and get some...
Yo, bumper music.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. What else is going on? I know I'm still just kind of, I want to try and get outside and do my walk, because I haven't walked today. And, you know, I walk a good 10 to 15,000 steps a day. In the early in the morning, I wasn't able to get out, but I want to get out before the big snowstorm. And, you know, I'm old now. I want to be careful. I don't want to slip and break my hip.
Yeah, I know. No more round dancing for you.
Ooh, that always messes up my hip.
Mm-hmm. I got to break out my skis.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw somebody skiing with their dog. It was kind of a TikTok famous thing, and it was funny. But this person had no poles, too. And I know you ski without poles, and that's made me think of you.
Yeah. Well, I grew up skiing without poles, okay? And that's just how I learned. And I just realized I think I kind of looked a little dumb out there without poles. So I started skiing with them, okay? And I didn't know there's a correct way to hold your poles or strap them on your wrists, apparently. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a thing, I guess. You can get skier's thumbs, and it's actually a UCL tear in your thumb.
Oh,
so I have that.
That's right. Jeez. I was wondering why you were wearing that sling.
Yeah.
And then seeing that I don't micromanage you as an employee, I was afraid to ask, but now I'm asking here on live radio.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. You can ask as my uncle. But.
not as your boss.
There you go.
That's right. Jeez. And if, for all you that are first checking in, Chujunk means niece. So when I say that in the beginning of the show, and I make Haley agree with me once a day with native issues are human issues and human issues are native issues. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I play the applause too, but Chujunk means niece.
Yes. And I, most of the time, will reply with Dega, which means uncle in Ho-Chunk. So there's a little Ho-Chunk language for you.
Yeah, a little class here we're having over the air here for you people that are considering speaking Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, which, speaking of Ho-Chunk, we should go to classes. We should go to language every Wednesday, is very cool that they have that.
Right, and there's more opportunities than that, but you're right. They want the instructor that's fluent wants you to be there, so there's no quick kind of, you know, over Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, probably best to be there.
Yeah. Well, when I come back from New York, we'll make sure we start going, and maybe you'll come here and do the show with this cleaned up studio, and then we'll go right there. Yeah. Hey, if you are listening to the show, Haley, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.